has propelled Democratic victories in the 2020 race. The measure scraped through 29-20 in the GOP-controlled Georgia Senate, which was the absolute minimum number of votes Republicans needed. Four Republicans, including some in competitive races, sat out the vote, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Sam Levine. The piece is titled "Outrage as Georgia Republicans Advance Bill to Restrict Voting Access." Please stay with us for more of Sam Levine's article. Georgia lawmakers have advanced a measure that would significantly curtail voting access after a record number of voters propelled Democratic victories in the 2020 presidential race. The measure scraped through 29-20 in the GOP-controlled Georgia Senate, which was the absolute minimum number of votes Republicans needed. Four Republicans, including some in competitive races, sat out the vote, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The bill, SB 241, would end the right to vote by mail without having to provide an excuse, a policy that Georgia Republicans implemented in the state back in 2005. More than 1.3 million people voted by mail in the 2020 presidential election in the state. Under the bill, only people aged 65 years and older or who have one of a handful of state-approved excuses would be allowed to vote by mail. Just 16 other states currently require a voter to give an excuse to vote by mail. The legislation also would require voters to provide identification information, such as a driver's license number, both when they apply to vote by mail and when they return the ballot. Republicans have frequently held up the specter of voter fraud to justify such restrictions, though there were several vote recounts in Georgia in the 2020 presidential race, as well as audits and officials found no such wrongdoing. Mike Duggan, the Republican state senator who sponsored the bill, said the lack of widespread fraud should not be an impediment to changing election rules. "You don't wait until you have wholesale issues until you try to meet the need," he said. "You do it beforehand." He also said on the Senate floor on Monday, 8th of March, that the bill was needed to reduce the burden on local election officials and to ensure that voters were not disenfranchised. State Senator Elena Parent, a Democrat, said the justification for the bill was a weaponization of Donald Trump's lies about the election. "It is a willingness and embrace of damage to American democracy," she said. "The numbers to stop this bill may not be here in this chamber today, but I assure you there are many thousands of Georgians right now whose political spirit is awakened by disgust at modern-day voter suppression." A stream of Democrats criticized the measure as a thinly veiled effort to suppress black and other minority voters in Georgia. Those groups contributed to record turnout in the state in 2020 and helped propel Joe Biden, as well as Democrats' senatorial candidates John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, to stunning victories in the state. "I know racism when I see it," said Gail Davenport, a Democrat who recalled watching the Ku Klux Klan marching on Saturdays in Jonesboro, just south of Atlanta, Georgia. "This is not about the process. This is about suppressing the vote of a certain group of people, especially me and people who look like me, and I take it personally." The bill will now go on to Georgia House of Representatives, which last week approved its own set of voting restrictions, including new limits on early voting and drop boxes. It remains unclear which proposals will ultimately be sent to the governor's desk once each chamber fully considers the opposite chamber's bill. Lawmakers have until 31st of March to send the bill to Governor Brian Kemp's desk, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. In the last two election cycles, we saw a dramatic increase in the number of voters of color who voted by mail, the number of young people who used early voting, the number of African Americans who voted on Saturday and Sunday, Stacey Abrams, the former Georgia gubernatorial candidate, told Mother Jones. We saw unprecedented levels of turnout across the board, and so every single metric of voter access that has been a good in Georgia is now under attack. Top Republicans in the state, including Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan, have said they oppose efforts to get rid of no-excuse absentee voting. And Jeff Duncan refused to preside over the Senate on Monday as it considered the measure to do just that. At several points during the debate, which stretched around 3 hours on Monday afternoon, Democrats connected the policies under consideration to those in the Jim Crow South. They noted that some members of the legislature had lived through those policies. Harold Jones II, another Democratic state senator, urged his colleagues to pay attention to black lawmakers who spoke out against the bill. "It's because that most basic right was denied to us. It's not 1800, it's not 1850s, it's right here in this room." Many of the senators that sit here lived through that process, he said. "Let me tell you, it is not theater, it is not a performance. It's real because we lived with it every single day."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life. of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of Islamic Upbringing. And we are here to discuss some very important and practical issues regarding the upbringing of our children, especially our teenagers. If you remember, we have discussed so many important issues in our previous episodes. Today also we have Islamic scholar Mrs. Razia Batul Najafi. She is preaching, I think, around 25 years in so many countries around the globe. She has written so many books, and she has specialized, you know, from the Islamic seminary of Qom, Hawza Ilmiya Qom. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to our show. So, inshallah, we will discuss some very important issues regarding children's upbringing. As you know, we have a lot of challenges in this time regarding children's upbringing, because our children, they are bombarded with different technologies and social medias and so many things. So a lot of parents, they are facing so many challenges in upbringing their children according to the Islamic teachings. For example, they have a lot of, you know, technology, lot of games, lot of, you know, social media things, lot of films, lot of dramas. They are learning so many things, you know. So it's very difficult and tough for us as a parent to upbring our children according to Islamic rules and values.
Exactly.
So let's start our talk about the rules, principles of tarbiyah and upbringing.
First of all, I would love to say that I know everyone is saying the same thing, that parenting is a big challenging nowadays compared to other eras. I totally agree with it. But if you just come to the beautiful seerah and character and role models of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, yeah, if you just connect to Quran and the sayings of Ma'asumeen alayhimus salam, you would feel that parenting is not that difficult, you know, because these beautiful examples will definitely change totally your perspective. And then you would see your children as a beautiful, beautiful investment, and you will enjoy with them. So first of all, I would love to just indicate about the dua number 25 of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. You know, I truly love it, the way Imam is saying that, oh Allah, you know, make me in that level that I would enjoy being as a parent. You know, I would love to enjoy to be in the company of my teens, my, you know, children, not to be pressurized. Yeah, that is something really beautiful, you know, aspects which Imam Zain Al-Abidin alayhi salam is looking.
Definitely, because we are unaware of the Islamic teachings. You know, unfortunately, there are not too much books and other things regarding Islamic upbringing. So we think that upbringing to our children according to Islamic rules is a very difficult job.
Exactly, totally. I agree with you.
We have a lot of ahadith, Quranic, you know,
our seerah of Ahlul Bayt,
practical tips. Yeah,
exactly.
So many stories about their children upbringing. Inshallah, we'll have a small, short break. Then after the break, we'll come again.
Sure, definitely.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Wow, Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. So, Mrs. Najafi, we were saying that upbringing our children is easy.
With so many conditions, definitely. Yeah. If we truly go and follow the footsteps of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam, then I don't think so. That would be a big problem. Like, I think the problem is in our head. Like the way we think, the way we see, we observe. Like I'm giving you just a beautiful example that a person, he came to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Again, you know, I'm taking the beautiful name of our fourth Imam. And he said, "Bisa shay al walad." You know, these children, especially teens,
definitely,
especially, you know,
nowadays also, unfortunately, a lot of parents.
Exactly. You know, like, they are a hassle. It's very difficult to handle them. But when Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he heard, that this person is taking it very negatively, look at the answer. You know, I truly love it. The way Imam said, Ni'ma shay al walad. You know, why you are saying bi'sa? You know, the walad,
totally
the children,
opposite,
our children are, you know, the best gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ni'ma means the best of the best. Then the explanation was also very, very amazing. Like I think we have to work from the root. You know, like root. Like we have to fix our way of thinking. If you look at your work as a ibadah, as a worshipping Allah, and you're earning a lot out of it, you would love to do that work. If you look at it as a hassle, as a burden, so then you get tired,
yeah, definitely, especially in these in these days we are very busy. Our
exactly.
life is always full of hassles and hectics. So in this time it's very, very tough, especially if we don't know the value of upbringing our children. So it is our duty to present the beautiful stories of Ahl Bayt alayhim salam, the
absolutely.
Practical life examples of Ahl Bayt alayhim salam. And as you said, we have to change our mindset, mind.
That is the fundamental
thinking.
Exactly.
If
that
we
is
look
the
at children as a gift, as a source of
pleasure.
Reward and pleasure, reward. And through children we can earn the higher status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then upbringing children is a, very, very...
Something enjoyable. Yeah, we will take
definitely.
Pleasure out of it. And then Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is, explaining in detail that how come, why I said, ni'ma shay al walad, what is the reason? The reason is that in Aisha, if they are in front of you, they are in this world, they are du'aun hadir, like automatically, by them, Allah will listen to you, like the way they are living with you, even if they are breathing, their breath as a muwahid, as a worshipper of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because they are Muslim, you will get reward. Even their existence has reward for you. Well, in Mecca, if they die, they are your shafi'a. They do intercession. They will stand in front of the door of paradise. They will eagerly wait to welcome you. So how come you're saying that bi'sa shay' al-walad? Look at the beautiful explanation of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. So after this beautiful introduction, inshallah, we are going to talk in detail about this amazing topic of parenting.
Inshallah. So we will have a short break again. Then after the break, inshallah, we will continue.
Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Dear listeners, welcome back. We were discussing the importance of children upbringing in the view of Islam, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as you said, it is a very beautiful and enjoyable job to have children and to do their tarbiyah, their upbringing, yeah?
Depends on our mindset.
So, exactly. Yeah, as you said, we have to change our mind and our thinking regarding the upbringing of children. So, inshallah, you will present more ahadith, as you mentioned, the fourth imam's dua about children also. So, inshallah, we will benefit from your enlightening.
I always boost myself as a parent and my students too, that if we spend our life, yeah, with having beautiful examples of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we would sometimes say thanks to Allah to be a parent and father or mother of a teenager boy or girl. And in teens, the very, very important step is to understand them, to hear them, you know? Like, usually we think that, oh, I have to train them, I have to educate them, I have to bombard with so many advices. But if you come to this world of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, you will see something totally different, and that is to be with them, to be a best listener, to be a friend, you know, and very lively with them. So inshallah, we are going to talk in detail about each these beautiful principles and steps of upbringing in Islamic point of view, that how this world of Ahlul Bayt can change our perspective towards upbringing.
Exactly. And you know, I just wanted to mention that if you buy a gadget or something else, so first, before using, you read carefully its instructions, how to use, how to handle with it. So if we change our mindset and our thinking regarding upbringing of our children, so we would do the same thing with our children. First of all, we would prepare ourselves mentally, then physically. Then we would learn all the skills regarding children's upbringing. Then we will have kids, you know. In this way, it is very easy and very fun to have children and to upbring them.
Absolutely,
according
definitely.
To the Islamic rules.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
Inshallah, we will go in details about these rules in our next coming programs, inshallah. So I think we are running out of time. So thank you so much. And thank you, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. If you have any suggestion, comments, or any idea you want to share with us, you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until our next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us reflect upon what Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, told a person who said, "Favors are worthless if they are done to other than those who seem to deserve." No, this is inaccurate. Favors should be like the heavy rain that covers both the pious and the sinful. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome to the lighter side of the news. It's great to have you with us. Now, the first gorilla born in the Berlin Zoo in 16 years finally has a name. The naming day was celebrated with no visitors due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, zookeepers made the day special for the tiny gorilla and her first-time mother with their favorite treats. The baby was born in mid-February. After a few weeks, the zoo received over 17,000 name suggestions for her. The low number of female firefighters across the world may indicate women's lack of interest in the job, but this female-only Brazilian firefighter crew is here to prove the opposite. The all-female team say their main goal is to empower women through the work they do. They say they are willing to prove that women can take any job that can help society. The firefighting crew started their activity just on Monday on International Women's Day. They work in southeastern Brazilian state. Although women have a variety of fire service roles in different countries, they account for less than 20% of firefighters worldwide.
Plastic waste has become a global environmental challenge, causing frustration among residents as recycling is not common everywhere. But a Filipino artist has grabbed the opportunity to turn trash into treasure. Since 2019, Gilbert Angels has been transforming plastic waste, especially non-recyclable trash, into beautiful paintings. He has so far made over 24 artworks by scattering shredded plastic bits across his canvas. The artist also uses expired paint and leftover wood from demolished homes. Angel said get some of these materials from around his neighborhood, while the rest is given to him by donators. He says that he got the idea to put waste to good use when he found out that his country is one of the world's top plastic waste producers.
We are the third contributor of plastic waste into the ocean, the third in the world. When I found out about that, I had to think of ways to raise awareness and knowledge on the reasons why we contribute this much waste.
The artist's works have been displayed in famous galleries in the Philippines. They have sold for prices ranging from a few hundred to a few thousand dollars. And Jess has also created an advocacy group called Green Arts, aimed at encouraging artists to use recycled waste for their work. And China's commercial hub, Shanghai, is not only filled up with skyscrapers, but this cosmopolitan city has many incredible things to attract domestic and foreign tourists as well. Unofficial statistics show Shanghai is China's de facto capital of animal cafes, so which are growing in terms of numbers and the variety of species that they host. There are now all kinds of animal coffee shops there. One of these venues is filled with cute furry raccoons, which sometimes tug at customers' clothes while they are served their food.
In another cafe, clients can enjoy the company of outlandish reptiles as they sip hot drinks. Those who frequent these bistros say the activity helps them relax and forget the hustle and bustle of city life. An advert showcasing a bowling alley has become an instant hit online by combining expert drone flying techniques and impressive filmmaking skills. The 90-second-long one-take video is titled Right Up Our Alley. The journey begins with a drone flying over the Blind Lake Bowl in the U.S. city of Minneapolis before swooping inside the venue at a remarkable speed. The device then flies over bowling lanes and small passageways, taking the audience on a tour of the entire facility. The footage ends by the drone crashing into the bowling pegs. The video has already racked up millions of views online.
Yeah, I think there's some skepticism there of it being a true one take. It is a true one take. There's no CGI. You know, that was kind of interesting, but also the positive nature of it, of people seeing the skill that it takes and the unique ability to, like, combine the skill of an amazing pilot, the technology of the drone, and the story that, and thank you, the story that actually can be told through a one take.
The footage was shot by a quadcopter drone. It took the pilot and the director about 10 to 12 attempts over 2 hours to produce the perfect take. The filmmakers undertook the project free of charge. Their aim was to help local businesses recover from the coronavirus-related losses.
A Swedish scuba diver is using his skills to clean up the underwater environment.
My name is Fredrik Johansson, and 2 years ago I started up a project called Rena Malaren. We have two goals. One is to get a lot of toxic waste up from the water, and the other thing is to make people over up this planet and to do better.
A number of Swedish scuba divers have voluntarily joined Johansson's program. They pull out harmful waste and trash from waterways and lakes. Johansson says he is shocked by the number of polluting fragments discovered in the Swedish marine environment. He says one of the main polluting factors is lead batteries discarded from boats. He says many waterways in the capital Stockholm are littered with these used batteries.
A new study has revealed a sad fact. Humans have destroyed around two-thirds of the world's tropical rainforests. According to a report by Rainforest Foundation Norway, logging and land conversion has ruined 34% of tropical rainforests. They have also caused degradation of another 30%, which makes the forest more vulnerable to fire and destruction. The report says that since 2002, over half of the vanishing has occurred in South America's Amazon. Experts believe the loss of tropical forests makes climate change worse. Japan is famous for its vending machines, but the technology is now being used to improve public access to coronavirus test kits. A group of medical experts in a clinic has set up 7 vending machines across the capital, Tokyo, to sell their test kits. Customers take the PCR test and then mail off their saliva sample for processing. Each machine holds 60 kits. The idea was met with great enthusiasm from people. It helps them to avoid crowded clinics.
Without PCR tests, we can't make a diagnosis. Early diagnosis and early treatment is a basic idea for all diseases. But unfortunately, there is no treatment for COVID-19. So I strongly felt that we had to do early diagnosis and early isolation.
Experts believe the number of PCR tests conducted in Japan is extremely low. They hope that the initiative can increase the figure. The machines sell the kits at around $40 each.
Teams of racing dog enthusiasts have converged on the Russian city of Irkutsk to participate in a 150-kilometer marathon on ice. The contest was held on the icy surface of the famous Baikal Lake. The racers, who started off at 5 p.m., had to put up tents and use warm equipment to withstand temperatures as low as minus 12 degrees Celsius to spend the night. Participants are free to choose their tactics throughout the race.
What's good about this race is its straightforward format. Now the racers start off and we will stop the clock when they arrive. Where they sleep and eat and how they cover the distance is a matter of their personal strategy and tactics. This is a contest for the real athletes.
The dogs can help their owners find the right direction in case they are lost on the frosty path. They can seek help from other rivals too. The Baikal race is an annual event that was held for the 7th consecutive time this year.
Get ready for a big dose of cuteness. In India, dozens of little turtles have been released into sea. Forest officials in a southern Indian town let loose 131 endangered turtle hatchlings. They had kept the eggs for over 50 days until the day came to set them free. The environmentalists also plan to release four other cute turtles, which are still too shy to come out of their cozy eggs. Marine turtles have existed for more than 100 million years. The numbers have fallen in the past few years due to human activities. Moving on, NASA's Mars rover, Perseverance, has successfully completed its first ever test drive on the red planet. The six-wheeled rover traveled more than 6 meters in 33 minutes. NASA officials called the mission a huge milestone. They also released images showing the robot's wheel tracks on the surface of the planet and surrounding landscape. NASA engineers say they are now preparing for the first flight of a helicopter drone carried by the rover. Perseverance was launched last summer and landed on Mars earlier in February. Its main goal is to search for traces of ancient microbial life there. It is going to collect soil and rock samples from the Martian surface and send them back to the Earth in the next decade for analysis.
An Australian conservation group says it will build the world's first ever platypus refuge facility.
We're also going to build a platypus refuge, one of its kinds around the world. This refuge will be able to take up to 6 to 5 platypuses in a time of crisis. Right now there is so much to learn about the platypus, and we know so little. These facilities will be critical in building our knowledge so that we don't let this iconic creature slip off the earth.
Platypuses are among Australia's most unique and elusive animals. They're normally found across the country's eastern seaboard. The strange-looking creatures are the only remaining representatives of their family. They spend most of their lifetime underwater and alone. Australian authorities say the planned refuge facility can give them more information about the animal's preferred environment and breeding. Many habits of the platypuses have remained a mystery to researchers.
That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is Fear of God.
I think
Today, Saturday, is the 29th of Rajab, 1442, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open the Book of Allah, the Holy Quran, and listen to Surah Anfal, verses 2-3.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون.
Believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful, and when His verses are recited to them, it increases them in faith, and upon their Lord they rely.
الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنفِقُونَ.
The ones who establish prayer, and from what we have provided them, they spend.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The true believers are those who are in awe of Allah because of His glorification and veneration. That is when the speech is delivered upon Allah's justice, retribution, and power. They dread, and when the speech is about His bounties, kindness, graces, and rewards, they feel peace in themselves. Thus, there is no contrast between these two verses, because fear relates to the remembrance of Allah's retribution and peace, but peace and rest relates to the remembrance of Allah's forgiveness and kindness. The topic of today's special is fear of Allah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "The believer should live between two fears, the past sin that he does not know what Allah will do about it, and the remaining days that he does not know what misfortunes he will encounter through them." Thus the believer begins his day fearfully and ends his day fearfully. Except fear nothing mends the believer. A wise man sent to the caliph who asked for an advice. "This seat that you are in now was occupied by your father before you, was it not?" "Yes, it was," answered the caliph. "They had done some acts because of which you expect they will be saved, had they not?" asked the wise man. "Yes, they had," answered the caliph. "They also had done some acts for which you are afraid they will be punished, had they not?" asked the wise man. The caliph said, "Yes, they had." "Now," said the wise man, "you should do these acts because of which you expect they will be saved, and you should avoid these acts for which you are afraid they will be punished."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with fearing God. We find that fearing God means that we have to fear being rather short of fulfilling our duties. For example, a medical doctor is expected to fulfill his or her duties as expected from him or her in a hospital or medical clinic. When a medical doctor is rather reckless about what's expected of him or her to do, we say that he doesn't fear anything. He doesn't fear being followed, being persecuted by the law. We find that in Islamic books of moral education, we find that it's indicated that people should fear God and do good, and people should do good for two purposes. So one of them is for the sake of helping other people, and another one for receiving the divine pleasure. Receiving the divine pleasure is the outcome, or is the result, or the outcome of doing good to people. Yet we find that those people who fear God may fear Him for three reasons. One of them is that, first of all, people may understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, so sublime, and so high that everybody should be aware of His presence, of His might, of His superiority.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Good fear and bad fear is the title of this part. The one who transcends all sources of fear is Allah Almighty. Everything is His creation, even death itself, are all in His control, and He is able to do all things. Therefore, Allah Almighty is most worthy to be feared and revered. The common introduction of khawf, that is an Arabic term, is from our childhood experience. Fear is often used to warn us of danger or for disciplining a child. Parental discipline in particular, the fear of father, behave or I will tell your father, or the fear of Allah, behave or Allah Almighty will punish you, can leave a negative impact on the child. As the child grows up, this type of fear impacts the relationship he or she develops with Allah Almighty, that is, fearing Him as the one who punishes people in hellfire. We should fear Allah, we certainly should, but this fear should not make us terrified of Him. It should not make us worship Him, because we only fear His punishment. There is more to worshiping Allah Almighty than fear.
قل لي من
One question, how to be fearful of Allah? Okay, the extreme fear causes despair, that is hopelessness. To be extremely hopeful leads men to heedlessness and ignoring his end. Therefore, it is forbidden to feel safe from the torture of Allah and to give up hope of mercy of Allah in our religion. Then the heart of the believer should beat between fear and hope. Khawf and Raja, in the presence of his Lord with the excitement of being a slave worthy of him. In the Quran and Hadith, the characteristics of believers is pointed out as follows. In chapter Isra, verse 57, believers hope for his mercy and fear his wrath.
Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam tells us who will stay in heaven for eternity. Not most people. Who will stay in hell for eternity? وَأَن تُخَلِّدَ فِيهَا الْمُعَانِدِينَ. Yes, the one who's stubborn. Even when they die, they're stubborn and they reject the signs of Allah. Those people, yes, they reject the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, they bring themselves to that path of destruction. We believe in tajseed al-a'mal. When you commit an action, immediately it generates an effect. The Quran makes a reference to this. The Quran says, those who usurp and steal the wealth of the orphans, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Immediately when you steal the money of an orphan, or you violate a business partner, or you do something wrong, you create a fire, but there is a barrier. On the Day of Judgment, Allah says, you created that fire, not me. You're the one who brought yourself to this path, not me. I gave you all the signs. I gave you all the signs. Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam once heard Al-Hasan al-Basri say a statement. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he was a well-known figure, and some schools of thought followed him at the time. He claimed he knew. He once said a statement. He said, I am amazed at the one who makes it to heaven. How did they make it to heaven? It's very tough. How are you saved? I'm amazed. It's very difficult. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam heard it. The Imam alayhi salam was disturbed. The Imam says, that's not how we the Ahlul Bayt view God. If you ask us the Ahlul Bayt, we say the following. Those who ended up in hell, how did they go to hell when Allah is the all-merciful? You see how the Imam switched it? The Imam says, I am shocked and amazed at the one who went to hell. How did you end up there when Allah has opened thousands of doors of rahmah for you? How did you end up there? This is our philosophy, the Ahlul Bayt, and this is the philosophy of those others. You see the rahmah and the school of Ahlul Bayt.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.